Five times Bobby made breakfast, plus one time Athena did. Written by Festival of Pudding, narrated by Rhea314. Fandom 911. Rating teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Pairing Athena Grant, Bobby Nash. 1. The morning after her first night with Bobby, Athena woke up alone. For a moment, she thought she might have dreamed the whole thing. But when she opened her eyes, she saw that she was in Bobby's bed. Sunlight streamed across the empty space beside her, the dented pillow, the wrinkled sheets still warm where he had lain. She breathed in the lingering scent of him and smiled. Probably gone to the bathroom. No need to get out of bed just yet. While she waited for him, she closed her eyes and stretched lazily against the sheets, replaying a few highlights from the night before in her mind. "It's been a long time," he had said, a little nervously. But Athena never would have guessed. Sure, he was a bit older than the last guy she'd been with, but then so was she. When it came right down to it, there was really no substitute for experience. She had almost dozed off again when she realized he still hadn't returned. Could he be in the shower? She listened, but didn't hear anything. Making coffee then, probably. Good idea. Athena sat up and yawned, smoothed her rumpled hair into place, and threw back the blue bedspread. In the morning light, she got her first look at Bobby's bedroom, and was pleased to see how cozy it was. According to Hen, his first apartment had been a bare prison cell and twice as depressing. But not so here, with a subtle tan and blue palette, mid-century furniture, and uncluttered brick walls, it was minimalist, warmly masculine, practical but still comfortable. It was very Bobby. On a chair by the closet sat two stacks of clothing folded neatly side by side, one of silk, one of cotton, with a pair of heels and a pair of wingtips lined up toes out underneath. Athena smiled again. Their things hadn't been nearly so tidy the last time she saw them. She got out of bed and fetched Bobby's dress shirt from the chair. It fit her like a robe, and she fastened one button at her navel as she walked to the bedroom door. She had a good idea now where he had gone, and when she opened the door and the smell of food hit her nose, she knew she was right. There he was, bustling about the kitchen, barefoot in his shorts and a Vikings t-shirt, putting the finishing touches on a massive breakfast tray. He looked up when the door opened. "Did I wake you?" Athena stared at the debris strewn across the kitchen. Mixing bowls, measuring cups, eggshells, strawberry tops. The tray he fussed with contained a plate of exquisite-looking French toast topped with strawberries and powdered sugar. Beside it was a full coffee service.
"I couldn't remember how you take your coffee, so I thought I'd bring everything and let you do it. I've got sugar, Splenda, no equal or stevia, though. But I do know you like French toast, because you mentioned it that time we got takeout from the pancake place. Anyway, everything's ready. You can go back to bed, and I could bring it to you. Unless you'd rather eat in here. In that case, have a seat, and I'll..."
"Bobby.
You do eat breakfast, right? I thought I remembered you saying you did. I know our schedules are all over the place, but I think I've seen you eat this early. If you're not hungry, that's fine. This will keep. I can..."
"Bobby." He ran out of words, faltered, swallowed, and then...
"You don't eat breakfast."
"No, I do." He nodded. He grabbed a kitchen towel and began scrubbing at his hands as he came around the island to where she stood.
"I went too fast. I'm coming on too strong. You said you wanted to take things slow, and I charged right into breakfast and bed territory just because we..." "I'm sorry, Athena. I wasn't thinking. I just wanted to surprise you."
She put both hands on his face and kissed him. She had to rise on tiptoe to reach him, and after a moment's surprise, he dropped the towel and bent over her, slipping his hands around her waist. When they finally drew apart, Athena smiled at the expression on his face.
You did surprise me. No one's ever made me breakfast in bed before.
Well, my kid's on Mother's Day, but you know what I mean. Not like this.
His shoulders dropped in relief, and he beamed. She saw the next question flit across his eyes.
Really?
And watched him stop himself from asking it. It was still so fascinating looking into those eyes. How different they were now than when she first met him. Like drawing the shade up on a window and watching the sunrise. After a month, he still looked at her like he couldn't quite believe this was happening.
Bobby showed her everything with his eyes. His face hid nothing from her, ever.
What a rare thing that was in the world.
He noticed then that she was wearing his shirt, and she watched those eyes change again, the uncertainty gone, replaced by the look she saw for the first time last night, when, after her third glass of wine, she'd offered to brush her teeth so he wouldn't taste it in her mouth when she kissed him. Never had the mention of Colgate turned a man on so abruptly. Evidently, seeing his clothes on her was a close second. Athena leaned back just enough for the shirt to shift in all the right places. His eyes moved down and back up, and his hand tightened a little on her waist.
So, I didn't scare you off?
Well, I mean, if you had gone straight to waffles, I might have to reconsider, but I think I can handle French toast.
I see. In that case, I should be honest with you. The only reason I didn't make waffles is that I don't have any syrup.
So you made French toast?
My French toast doesn't need syrup.
She raised an eyebrow.
It's that good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
His hands moved from her waist to her hips, but no further. She could feel that he wanted her. But there was no demand, no assumption, only communication. Bobby touched her like a promise, not a boast. His strength was in his restraint, his power in his gentleness. He was all around her, but never controlling, a protective layer that didn't smother, like a fire coat in an LA inferno, or a fur coat in a Minnesota blizzard. Athena answered him in kind. She leaned into him, pressed their bodies together, with nothing but thin cotton between them.
I'll be the judge of that.
Does that mean you're hungry?
Athena nodded.
Mm-hmm. She reached up to thumb the powdered sugar off his cheek and slipped it into her mouth. Then she pushed the shirt back from her shoulders and let it fall to the floor.
But breakfast can wait, she said.
2. Bobby was just about to head to his office to get changed when he heard Athena's voice on the stairs.
Good morning.
Hey. He came across the upper floor to meet her, kissed her quickly in the bright morning light.
This is a nice surprise.
Just the sight of her made him grin like a fool, and he didn't care, even after work, in day-old makeup and a uniform smelling of a 24-hour shift on the LA streets, she was still ludicrously beautiful.
I was wondering if you wanted to get breakfast at the pancake place before you head home, she said. If you're not too tired, that is.
No, it was a good night, not a lot of calls. I would have left already, but I had a few things to catch up on first.
I don't want to keep you.
No, I'm good. I was just going to get changed.
Hey, I know. Why don't I make us something here? The pancake place is pretty crowded this time of day.
Bobby, you just let me barge in on dinner with your crew last night. I don't expect you to cook for me again 12 hours later.
She glanced around, then added quietly, and really, I just wanted to talk to you.
Fear plucked at Bobby's heart, but only for a moment. Their first fight was over, the test had come and gone, and they were still here. She was still here. He smiled.
Tell you what, I'll whip us up some pancakes and we can eat in my office where it's private. How about that?
Oh-ho! The captain's office. Another first. I really am getting the VIP treatment here.
Well, not every fire captain gets to have his very own special liaison officer.
She eyed him.
I like the choice of words. I'll allow it.
He winked at her and went into the kitchen. As he grabbed the pancake mix, his own pre-sifted blend, of course, not a store-bought mix, and tossed some butter on the griddle, he could hear her unzipping her jacket and setting her sunglasses down on the island behind him.
"You sure you have time for this?" she asked. "Won't the next crew need to get in here?"
"Nah. B-Shift never uses the kitchen, not for breakfast anyway. They're more of a coffee and donuts crowd."
"Try not to sound so critical. Not everyone likes making pancakes from scratch at the start of a shift."
Bobby turned to grin at her.
"There's juice in the fridge. You know where the glasses are."
It didn't take him long to cook, a short stack for each of them, while Athena watched, sipping her juice. When it was ready, she said,
"You know what? Let's just eat at the table. I don't want to get food all over your desk."
"Told you there'd be no one around. They probably don't even know I'm still here."
He carried their plates to the table and they sat down to dig into their breakfast.
"This needs longanberry," Bobby said. "I knew I forgot something at the market."
"It's fine," Athena said. "More than fine. One day I'll get your recipe."
"If you're very, very lucky."
She grinned, but the smile didn't last long. When she swallowed her mouthful, she paused and then said quietly,
"We didn't really get a chance to talk last night. About what happened."
Bobby shrugged.
"It wasn't the right time. I figured we'd talk things out the next time we were alone."
"So did I. But I didn't want to wait. Not that my communication skills are exactly at their best after a shift, but still. I didn't want to wait till tonight. I wanted to apologize."
"Athena, you already did that. You don't have to do it again."
"I know I don't. But I'm going to anyway, so just shut up and listen."
Bobby ate his pancakes.
"Yes, you were pushing. But so was I. You were pushing me to do something I wasn't comfortable with, but you were also pushing me to be honest with myself, and I was afraid to do that. I wanted to keep hiding because it was easier, and that's not fair to you, but it's not fair to me either. We both deserve better. So I apologize to both of us, I guess."
He reached over to squeeze her hand.
"I was pushing. And yeah, mostly because I didn't know what it's like to be in your shoes. I was so impatient, and I didn't take that into consideration. I should have listened to you more than I did."
She nodded. "And I should have listened to you. I was so busy dealing with my own baggage, I didn't think about what you must be carrying, too."
She squeezed his hand back, rubbed his knuckles with her thumb. "I never should have brought your past into it. That was a low blow."
"You were upset."
"I panicked because I knew what you were saying was reasonable, and I felt trapped by that."
"I never want you to feel trapped by me," Bobby said.
"Or manipulated or controlled. Never. You were trying to tell me what it's like to be a black woman, and I... The thing is, for me, as a man, I don't want... I just want everyone to know how I feel about you, because I'm proud of it. I'm proud of us. And also because I don't ever want you to think that this is some cheap thing on the side for me, like I'm using you without... I love you, Athena said. He froze, a forkful of pancake halfway between the plate and mouth. Lord knows I didn't mean to, but I fell in love with you, Bobby, and it scared the hell out of me. It still does, to be honest, but I'm not gonna let it anymore. Her face blurred and swam in Bobby's vision. He set his fork down and reached for his juice to clear the sudden constriction in his throat. She was smiling at him, and he knew he should answer her, but the best he could do was stare at her with what must be an absurd expression on his face, before finally managing to croak. "I'm sorry, I never thought..." She squeezed his hand. "I know. I love you, Athena. I have for a long time now."
"I know that, too. I guess we both got lucky."
Moisture glinted in her eyes as she mastered herself with a skill and speed that matched his own, and gave him a sly smile before returning to her pancakes.
"And don't you worry about controlling me. No man has ever had any luck with that."
"I believe you." Athena glanced around the upper floor. They were still alone. She took another bite, savored it before swallowing, then leaned over and said into Bobby's ear,
"You know, maybe you could show me your office after all? Just for a few minutes."
He eyed her over his fork.
"How many minutes?" "Depends on how thick your walls are."
Bobby dropped his fork and pushed back from the table. She had him by the wrist, and with his free hand, he reached for his juice, gulped down the remainder, then plunked the empty glass onto the table before they sprinted down the hall. 3. Athena knocked on the door of apartment 406 twice before letting herself in. Normally, she would have just used her key without announcing it, but on this particular morning she had no desire to ambush Bobby unawares. She jangled the keys as she entered, but decided not to call his name just in case he was asleep. He wasn't. She found him in the kitchen, which didn't surprise her. What he was doing, however, stopped her in her tracks. Bobby was hunched over the marble kitchen block, chopping vegetables. If chopping was the word to describe the brutal execution strokes befalling the unfortunate produce within his grasp. He slashed without grace or precision, every slice snapping steel against marble with a crack like a whip. He was shirtless, in the same jeans he'd worn last night, and his entire body vibrated with rage. Shoulders bunched, forearms knotted, knuckles white, jaw clenched, stubbled face pinched with fury. He was always so careful with his knives.
"This is not a tool, it's an instrument,"
he would inform her while Jillianning something just to see her eyes roll. Safe cutlery use was basic training at the 118. Woe betide the member of Bobby's crew whom he found hacking something in the station's kitchen as recklessly as he was destroying the pepper in his clutches. But Bobby was not at the station, and his crew were no longer his.
"Bobby?"
He flinched and looked up, startled. His face instantly morphed into a smile, but it was a little too fast, a little too bright.
"Hey, didn't know you were coming by. Everything okay?"
"I was just about to ask you the same thing." He shrugged and turned back to the block, where he began slicing a mushroom with slightly less violent strokes.
"Me? I'm right as rain."
"Uh-huh. Well, I was just on my way in, and I thought I'd stop by to check on you."
He didn't respond, and she went on. Did you get a new job as a prep cook while I was gone? Bobby paused, looking at the mountain of butchered vegetables.
I was going to make an omelet.
Sounds good. Make me one, too.
I thought you were going in.
I'm always early. I've got time.
Athena.
He ran a hand through his hair, then realized he was still clutching the knife and hastily set it down.
I would love that, really, but I think I ought to be alone right now.
I know. That's why I'm staying. He glanced again at the vegetal carnage and sighed.
I do have a lot of peppers.
And you do make a good omelet. She set her keys on the counter and took a seat on a stool, ending the discussion. Bobby washed his hands and began cracking eggs into a mixing bowl. His fingers twitched around each broken shell, and his hand trembled when he poured the milk.
It's okay, you know, Athena said. What's okay?
To be angry.
Don't bother. Did you forget who you're talking to?
I'm angry, too. I'm beyond angry. I am royally pissed.
This is red tape bureaucratic bullshit, and suspending you while they clear it up is a waste of everyone's time. But most of all, it's an insult to you.
That's how these things go.
He was whisking eggs with such force that they slopped over the sides of the bowl.
They have to make sure the 118 is in safe hands. A crew needs to know their captain is a leader, not a drunk who murdered his family.
Bobby!
No, I don't believe that anymore.
Not really.
But what would you think if you read that report? Alcoholic fire captain starts fire through negligence, loses his family, attempts suicide, then gets sober enough to be transferred before falling off the wagon and getting dragged out of bed by two of his crew.
And you haven't relapsed since.
Review boards don't care about that. All they care about is how it looks on paper. All that matters is that they didn't know because I didn't tell them, and now they're...
He bit off the word and clenched his jaw.
Embarrassed, she said for him.
Bobby slammed the bowl to the counter, sending vegetables flying.
How does this make the department look? They said. Not the 118, the department. This isn't about safety, it's about their PR. I have worked and worked for so long and tried so damn hard to pay a debt that can never be paid, and just when I'm finally getting to a place where I feel like I'm something close to...
His voice broke, and he looked away.
Happiness? Athena said. No, I've had that since I took you on our first date.
Then what?
He finally looked at her. A tear slipped down his face.
Peace.
She went to him, and he managed to stay rigid until she took him in her arms.
I was so close,
he said, and clutched her as he wept. She held him until it passed. When he drew back from her with a mumbled apology, she took his face in her hands, drawing his cheeks with her thumbs.
I'm going to marry you, Bobby. And you're going to get your crew back. You're not being punished because you forgave yourself. You're being tested to see if you really have.
He squeezed his eyes shut, sniffled once, nodded.
Do you believe you deserve to lose your job?
No.
Do you believe you deserve to have a family?
He almost smiled.
No, but I'm going to anyway.
Yes, you are, she said, and he bent his forehead to hers. She gave him another moment, then added,
"Now then, you gonna make me an omelet or what?"
He laughed softly and wiped his face on his arm. While he waited for the pan to heat, he began cleaning up the mess on the chopping block. Athena watched him scoop piles of chopped vegetables into storage containers, stacking them like a caterer refilling a salad bar. And then it hit her.
"That's it."
"What, too many mushrooms?"
"I know how you can keep yourself occupied until this nonsense is over."
"Oh?"
"Plan the wedding."
He turned.
"Come again?"
"You know I'm not great with that kind of thing, but you are. You're gonna have time on your hands until the hearing, and I can't have you brooding around here taking out your anger on innocent food. So I leave our wedding in your hands. Call venues, research caterers, make lists, go wild."
For a moment, she thought he might protest, or at least claim his heart wasn't in it right now. But she could see in his face that her instinct was right. Bobby Nash was a type A planner and a hopeless romantic. Truly a win-win for both of them in this situation. Bobby poured the eggs into the pan and began carefully applying vegetables.
"You're just trying to make me feel useful," he said. "Is it working?"
He smiled. "Good. Now put that in a container so I can eat it at my desk."
"I thought you were early."
"There might be traffic. Besides, you've got work to do." Bobby flipped her finished omelet into a container, closed the lid, and wrapped it in a thermal bag with the speed and expertise of a line cook. She came to meet him as he brought it to her, but when she reached for it, he pulled it back.
"Do you really want me to plan our wedding?"
"Well, I sure as hell don't want to, so it's either you or May."
He laughed softly.
"Challenge accepted."
She took the to-go bundle and grabbed her keys before slipping her sunglasses into place.
"Thanks for breakfast, Captain."
He snaked an arm around her waist and pulled her in for a kiss.
"I love you, babe."
"You're damn right you do."
Bobby held the front door open when she left and squeezed her ass as she walked by.
"Come back after your shift and I'll make you dessert."
4. When she opened her eyes, the first thing Athena saw was a rose on Bobby's pillow. She smiled and reached for it, brought it to her nose to inhale the scent. When she sat up, she found another on her nightstand, propped against the lamp near a photo of the kids. When she pulled her robe from its hook on the closet door, a rose fell from its front pocket, this one with the thorns trimmed off. In the bathroom, a rose lay in front of the mirror on her vanity, and another in the medicine cabinet. Athena added each flower to her growing bouquet, and when she opened the bedroom door, she found a trail of petals through the living room to the kitchen, where 4 place settings waited on the dining room table around a vase filled with roses. Bobby was busy, so he didn't hear her come in. Athena leaned against the island and smelled the roses, watching him bustle around the kitchen in sweats and a 118 t-shirt, stirring, slicing, toasting, pouring. There was a lightness in his movements that had been too rare lately, a bounce in his step that he seldom allowed himself and reserved only for the safest moments. Athena recorded the sight in her mind, secured it away with a collection of images she took out and thumbed through whenever she needed them most. And then she walked into the kitchen and slipped her arms around him from behind, rising on tiptoe to kiss the back of his neck. He leaned into her while he finished stirring something, and then he switched off the burner and turned in her arms to kiss her.
"Good morning, Mrs. Nash," he said.
Whatever came over her face made him laugh out loud, another precious rarity these days.
"I've been waiting all morning to say that. Absolutely worth it."
He kissed the tip of her nose. "Good morning, Sergeant Grant." She raised an eyebrow. "Actually, I decided to go with Grant Nash legally. I'm sticking with Grant professionally. Less paperwork."
"Can't blame you there."
He picked up his tongs and returned to work, but soon enough he turned back to her.
"You know I'm kidding, right? I wouldn't want—"
"Bobby, do you really think I would change my name if I didn't want to?" He pointed with the tongs.
"Excellent point."
He resumed flipping something that made sizzling noises, then shrugged.
"I'm just saying, I'm old-fashioned, but I'm not that old-fashioned. Nash, Grant, Carter. As long as you're my wife, that's all that matters."
He paused then and smiled. Softly, he said it again.
"You're my wife."
"That's what the judge said," Athena replied. She took his left hand in her left hand, lifted them so their rings glinted in the morning sunlight. He wore the gold band she had placed on his finger the day before. Soon enough, he would have to switch it out for that ugly black silicone thing he'd bought for safety. But not yet. "So," she asked him, "do you feel any different now that I've made an honest man of you?" He tossed the tongs on the counter and reached for her.
"I feel like I still can't figure out what I did to deserve you."
Athena's face grew warm despite herself, and she hid her grin behind her rose bouquet. Before she could answer him, the toaster dinged, and when she saw what it contained, she could not prevent a gasp of delight.
"Are those?" "Oh yeah."
He winked at her.
"Have a seat."
As she took her usual place at the table, Athena added her roses to the bunch already in the vase. 2 dozen had arrived just after they all returned from dinner the night before. How Bobby had strewn half of them across the bedroom this morning without waking her up, she had no idea. She poured herself a glass of orange juice while Bobby plucked the English muffins from the toaster. Onto a platter they went, and Athena sipped her juice and watched him work his magic. Back bacon from the broiler, poached eggs from the pot, and fresh hollandaise whisked right there in front of her.
"If I'd known you were going to make eggs Benedict the next morning, I'd have married you a lot sooner. I had to make sure you wouldn't change your mind." "The day is young."
She refilled her juice while he laughed, then looked around and remarked,
"Where are the kids?"
"They went to the coffee shop. Ought to be back any minute."
"In my car?"
"In mine. May said she wanted to give us some alone time."
"Mm-hmm. In other words, May talked you into letting her drive."
"She is 17. She has a license."
"She's already got you wrapped around her finger."
"I wonder who showed her how to do that." There was that warmth in her face again. May and Harry had offered to spend the night at Michael's to give them privacy, but Bobby wouldn't hear of sending them away.
"Tomorrow will be our first morning altogether as a... officially,"
he had said. And Athena had known the word he had wanted to use, even if he was still afraid to use it. It made her chest ache with the force of how much she loved him. Sure enough, as he brought the platter to the table, the front door opened and the kids came in, May carrying a cup holder and Harry a white paper bag.
"Hi, Mom," said May. "I got that dark roast you like."
"They had 2-for-1 eclairs," added Harry. "Can I have one for breakfast?"
"Absolutely not," Athena said. "Bobby worked hard on this, and you're not going to eat a bunch of sugar instead."
"I can have both. I'm a growing boy."
"Eggs first, chocolate after."
May grinned at Bobby as she passed him a cup. The kids settled in at their places, and, despite his desire for chocolate, Harry eyed the platter of Eggs Benedict and licked his lips. When Bobby sat down, Athena bowed her head for a quick grace, and when she finished, he crossed himself and said,
"Okay, let's dig in before it gets cold."
He reached for the serving spoon, but Athena stopped him. She took his hand in hers, then Harry's in the other. May and Bobby followed suit, and the four of them held hands around the table. Athena looked at their faces one by one. Her daughter, her son, her husband, her family. "Thank you," she thought, and then she nodded. "Let's eat." Bobby squeezed her hand and began divvying out portions. As he passed a plate to May, Harry said,
"Mom, there's flower stuff all over the floor in the hallway. It must have fallen off your roses."
"That was Bobby, dummy," said May. "He was being romantic."
"What's romantic about throwing trash all over the floor?"
"You'll understand when you're older," Bobby said.
Harry shrugged.
"Whatever, just as long as I don't have to clean it up."
May rolled her eyes at him, before favoring Bobby with that rarest of adolescent expressions, a nod of approval. Harry took a huge bite of eggs, chewed once, and said messily around the mouthful,
"This is good. When are you moving in, Bobby?"
Athena met her husband's eye over the rose vase, and they shared a smile. 5. Athena knew she was awake because her feet were cold. The meds dulled the pain just enough to doze off, but morphine couldn't do anything about how cold it always was in these damn hospitals. Once consciousness returned, so did the pain, along with all the other discomforts of being stuck in a hospital bed. Scratchy gown, IV tubes, beeping monitors, lights that never dimmed enough. She was so damn tired and everything hurt, but it was no use. She was awake. Might as well open her eyes. At least she knew that when she did, Bobby would be there. He lay on the narrow rollaway, facing her, no blanket, no pillow, still in his uniform. He hadn't even taken his shoes off. At least he'd managed to fall asleep, even if he didn't look comfortable. His eyes were red-rimmed, his cheeks shadowed with stubble, but a little of the color had returned to his face. He curled on his side on the too small cot, one arm crooked beneath his head, the other tucked against his chest, with his rosary still in hand. Athena watched him, smiling softly. She thought about trying to go back to sleep, but then the intercom sounded in the hall outside, and Bobby flinched and started awake. His eyes met hers, and he smiled too.
"Hey," Athena said.
"Hey.
What time is it?"
Bobby sat up, grimacing a little as his back straightened, and checked his watch.
7:15.
"Ugh, I knew it was early. You should go back to sleep."
"You're the one who should be sleeping."
He tucked his rosary away and rubbed at his bleary eyes, then left the cot to come sit in the chair beside her.
"Are you feeling all right? Do you need anything?"
"No, I'm all right. It's just too damn cold in here."
Immediately, he got up and yanked the thin hospital blanket off the rollaway. He was tucking it around her, careful of her broken arm, when someone knocked at the door and a chipper-looking doctor came in. Athena recognized her from the night before. Dr. Nguyen, if fuzzy memory served.
"Good morning, Sergeant Grant. How are you feeling?"
"Alive," Athena replied.
"That's what I like to hear. Were you able to get any sleep?"
"A little."
"How's the headache? Any nausea, dizziness, blurred vision?"
"The room's spinning a little, but I figure that's what happens when you take a metal door to the face."
Bobby winced, but the doctor only smiled. "That's more likely from the morphine." She peered at the monitors and tapped a few notes on the tablet in her hand. Well, your vitals are looking good, so we'll do a few more scans this morning and then go from there.
Athena sighed. Is that really necessary?
Sergeant Grant, you have 2 cracked ribs and some pretty severe bruising. I intend to make sure those are healing before I send you home.
We appreciate that, Bobby said, and Athena attempted to look like she agreed.
Right, well, since you're awake, I'll send a nurse in shortly to get you upstairs. Should take about an hour, tops, and then you can have breakfast and get some rest. I'll see you up there.
When she was gone, Athena grumbled. I don't know why everyone is making such a fuss over a broken arm and some bruises. Because it could have been much worse, Bobby said. But it wasn't.
Before he could answer that, she eyed him and added,
You know, if I'm going to be gone upstairs... Don't try to send me home, Athena. It won't work. I'm not sending you home. But you could use that hour to go get changed, at least. Splash some cold water on your face. Maybe take a shower.
Bobby looked down at himself, sniffed one armpit, cleared his throat.
Well... Otherwise, you'll just be down here worrying, and that doesn't do either of us any good.
He started to say something else, but just then the door opened and a perky young nurse poked his head in.
Hi, I'm Trent. Okay if I come in?
Be my guest, Athena said. My husband was just stepping out for a minute.
Bobby frowned a bit longer, but finally nodded.
All right, but I will be back in 1 hour. 1 hour.
1 hour, Athena said. 59 minutes later, Trent was helping her back into bed when Bobby returned, showered, shaved, wearing clean clothes, civvies, not a uniform, with a shift bag in one hand and a lunch tote in the other. Trent looked at his watch.
Wow, I am impressed.
Don't encourage him, muttered Athena. To Bobby, she said, Did you eat something?
I did better than that, Bobby replied, holding up the lunch tote.
You mean to tell me you went home, cleaned up, cooked breakfast, and got back here all in 1 hour? Did you hijack a life flight or something?
I didn't go home. I went to the station.
She watched while he unpacked 3 food containers from the tote, laying them out on the tray table.
She can have scrambled eggs, right?
Absolutely, said Trent. Athena caught a whiff of something else, something that made her eyebrows rise. She looked at the second container and said,
What's that?
Bobby placed a spoon atop the container and pushed it towards her.
Grits.
What?
When did you learn how to cook grits? I can't even get you to eat them.
I asked your mother to teach me the last time she visited. Thought it might get me on her good side.
Trent finished adjusting the IV and patted Athena's shoulder. You're all set. Give me a call if you need anything. I'm on shift until 3. He pointed at Bobby and added, And whatever you do, keep him, before closing the door behind him when he left.
Bobby, did you really cook grits for me?
I most certainly did.
Hen said they turned out pretty good, too. The eggs are a little overcooked, but it's still better than hospital food.
I'm just lucky I'm not eating through a tube. She smirked as she said it, but Bobby swallowed and looked away.
Hey, you know I mean that, right? I am lucky. I know it could have been worse.
He nodded without answering, but he wouldn't meet her eyes.
If you hadn't got there when you did,
I didn't save you, Athena. Bobby snapped. I wasn't fast enough. You saved yourself. And when I was laying there, not knowing how bad I was hurt, I heard the sirens coming and I knew it was you. I knew you were coming, and that's when I knew I was gonna be okay.
He looked at her then, and his chin wobbled when he smiled. Then he sniffed and said brightly,
"Come on, you better eat this before it gets cold."
She tried the grits first.
"Not bad, Bobby. Not bad at all."
"Told you I've been practicing."
He pulled two thermoses from the bag and opened one for her.
"This is that low-sugar orange juice you like."
"What's in the other one?"
"Buck made you some coffee. I told him you'd be sleeping most of the day, but, you know, it's Buck."
Athena smiled. He wanted to be useful. She took another bite of grits, then glanced at the empty bag.
"What about you? You better have made something for yourself, too."
Bobby picked up the third container.
"Oatmeal."
"You have fun with that.
I'll just be over here enjoying my grits."
He took the lid off his breakfast and picked up a spoon, but paused before taking a bite.
"Are you enjoying them? Did I do okay?"
"You did good, babe. It's really good."
She waited until he had a mouthful of oatmeal before adding,
"Then again, I am on a lot of morphine."
Bobby choked on a laugh and reached for Buck's coffee while Athena sipped her juice. 6. The morning after Athena saved his life, Bobby woke up alone. He knew he wasn't alone, of course. He was in the hospital, as he had been since getting out of surgery. Now that had been a surprise. Not the surgery, but the getting out. Last night, sitting in a pool of his own blood with a gun in his face and a building coming down around him, he hadn't rated his survival chances particularly high. He was gut-shot, and he knew it. Small caliber round through turnout gear, sure, but gut-shot is gut-shot. He'd lost too much blood to walk out of that fire, even if he could have made it past his assailant. He was halfway through a paternoster in his head, struggling to stay conscious enough to remember the words, when suddenly there was noise and motion, and the gun was gone, and someone leaned over him and held him up before he fell. He looked up to see Athena pull off that 118 helmet like Princess Leia rescuing him from Jabba's palace, and he knew he was hallucinating. But he was grateful for the illusion of dying in her arms. He said her name once, so it would be the last word on his tongue, and let the darkness take him. And then he woke up in a recovery room, and she was at his side, safe and sound, praying one of her silent Baptist prayers. She wore clean clothes but smelled faintly of smoke, and through the fog of anesthesia, Bobby realized it hadn't been a dream. It really had been her. She had walked through fire to find him. He was alive, and Athena had saved him.
"I had to get my partner back," she had said, and Bobby knew everything was going to be all right.
The hours after that were a blur. Lucid moments came through here and there, a nurse smiling at him as she checked his vitals. Athena on the phone, just above a whisper.
"Your sister's right, baby. You go to bed. You can see him tomorrow."
The ceiling of a different room, an orderly tucking a pillow behind his head. Athena holding his head so he could sip water. Her profile in the darkened room, head bowed, either praying or sleeping. So when he woke up this time and she wasn't there, Bobby wasn't concerned. Who knew how long he'd been drifting, in and out? She could have run home to check on the kids, or stepped outside to call her precinct. Hell, days could have gone by for all he knew. Maybe she'd been called into work. She would come back, and that was what mattered. He was almost asleep again, half dreaming of her voice saying, "I got you, I got you," when he heard the door open and close quietly. He opened his eyes to see Athena tiptoeing past his bed, carrying a takeout bag.
1070, suspected prowler, Bobby said.
She jumped, startled.
Damn, I was hoping to make it back before you woke up.
He tried to push himself up a little, but stopped when pain lanced through his side.
What time is it?
A little after 10.
Really? I'm surprised the doctor hasn't been in here.
Athena raised an eyebrow.
He has. Twice.
She set the bag down and came over to feel his forehead.
That's better. Looks like you're really awake this time. Was I running a fever?
The surgeon said it's normal. Feels like it's breaking now.
How do you feel? Better, I think. I'm glad you got yourself some breakfast instead of sitting here watching me sleep.
Oh, this isn't for me. I already ate. This is for you.
You got me breakfast. You didn't have to do that.
You did it for me when I was in here. The least I can do is return the favor. I have a confession, though. I didn't make this myself. He grinned.
The takeout bag was a clue.
Breakfast is your specialty, not mine. I'll make you something for dinner tonight. But I know what the food here is like, and Buck wouldn't stop texting me. So I decided to call him while I walked down to that cafe across the block.
How's he holding up?
Better today. Last night, when he saw you'd been shot, he didn't take it very well. He wanted to be here when you woke up, but he had to look after Christopher. Bobby sighed.
That boy has enough on his plate without worrying about me.
It's Buck, Bobby. He is going to worry about you whether you want him to or not. I told him everything the doctor told me. He knows you're going to be all right.
He'll be in here before you know it.
Now let me sit you up so you can get something in your belly. Together they got him propped up a little, with only a few grunts of pain. And then Athena opened the takeout bag. It contained a small box and a large foam cup with a bendy straw. She set the box aside and handed him the cup. Here, taste this and tell me what you think. It was thick as a milkshake, not too sweet, with bits of fruit and something else. An interesting flavor, unusual but familiar.
Is it any good? I got you a muffin just in case. No, it's good.
He took another sip.
It's really good, actually. What is it?
The protein smoothie flavor of the day. Strawberry French toast. Bobby looked up at her, and she smiled.
Do you remember the first night we spent together, at your old apartment? You made me breakfast the next day.
He would never forget anything about that weekend.
Strawberry French toast.
I went down there to get you some eggs, and then I saw the special written on the board, and... Moisture sprang up in her eyes, and she waved away the rest of the sentence. Anyway, I'm glad you like it. Bobby set the cup aside and reached for her hand. Athena, down on the edge of the bed, careful not to jostle him, took his hand in hers.
I thought for sure I'd scared you off that day, he said.
It takes more than breakfast to scare me off.
So I've learned.
He looked down at their intertwined fingers and his throat tightened.
Athena, what I said to you the other day, before...
She put a finger on his lips,
You're never going to scare me off, Bobby.
She kissed him once, softly, and he caught the faint scent of smoke in her hair.
Never. Do you have any idea how much I love you?
He said. Athena touched his face, still smiling, and kissed him again before she drew back and handed him his breakfast. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. If you've enjoyed this Podfix, you're also welcome to leave me feedback. I would love to hear from you. I really enjoyed this fic, particularly I feel like this author has Athena's voice down perfectly, which was really fun and a challenge for me to record since I'm not necessarily the best with her voice. I feel like Angela Bassett has a really particular way that she plays Athena, so I'm hoping I captured that at least a little bit in this podfic, and it was really fun to try. Thank you for listening.